الله أكبر الله أكبر.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين. All praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given us an opportunity to be truly human. And when we say that, we mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an opportunity to transcend the physical nature of our being. So obviously we are physical beings, composed of physical matter, but we're also spiritual beings. And one of the great tragedies of our time is that the people who should be representing spirituality in the world are by and large capitulating to materialism and all that comes with that. We have to understand that spiritual consciousness is a consciousness that orients us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu, or even before mentioning hadith actually, from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can go back to the verse that is part of the Khutbatul Hajjah. Ya ayyuhan nas ittaqoo rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafs wahida. O mankind, O humanity, be mindful, be conscious of your Lord who has created you from a single soul. So taqwa is consciousness that translates into obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the root it is consciousness. Ya ayyuha an-nas, so Allah is addressing humanity. Ittaqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafs wahida. Be conscious of your Lord. And sometimes taqwa is translated God consciousness, who has created you from a single soul. And this consciousness, at the end of the verse, we're reminded we should aspire to have this as our permanent state. Or we could say in that case, as a station that we arrive at, that has permanence. So Allah Ta'ala goes on to say, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. So at the beginning of the verse, what does Allah tell us? يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم نفس واحدة. Be conscious of your Lord. And at the end of the verse, what does Allah tell us? إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. Verily Allah is watching over you. So the consciousness should lead us to a state where we are aware that Allah Ta'ala is watching over us at every moment. And this is what we would like to address today, but we'll take the scenic route inshallah and not go directly there. The first point we mentioned, the consciousness. And then Allah says, اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها. Be mindful of your Lord who's created you from a single soul and made from that soul its mate, referring to Adam and Eve, Adam wa Hawa. And then he says, وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And he sent forth from the two of them multitudes of men and women. And this is a reminder of the centrality of the family in the spiritual endeavor. And one of the consequences of materialism and material society is its outright war on the family. So as we get deeper and deeper into materialism, the war on the family gets more and more intense, and it becomes increasingly difficult to hold families together. Because the materialism, one of its byproducts is egoism. Because I want to possess everything I can possess. And when that reaches its logical extreme, there's no room for family, because family involves sharing. It involves sharing. And so as we become more and more materialistic, we lose our ability to share. We lose our ability to share, be that our possessions. Now, why should I get married? I can just live with her. She has her own money, her own place. Why should I have to spend on her? Or vice versa. No, he could go out and get a job. Nothing's wrong with him. He's healthy. Why should I spend my money on him? After all, we're Muslims. He's supposed to maintain and provide. Right. What do you do when he can't get a job? So this is one of the pernicious influences of materialism. It causes us to lose focus on those things that are necessary to hold our families together. So Allah, he mentions God consciousness. There's an indirect reference to the family. وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. And so then the focus goes back to God consciousness. تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ. That you ask each other through Him. People ask you, بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ. I beseech you for the sake of Allah. That requires God consciousness. On both parts, number one, for a person to ask through Allah and with Allah, and on the other hand, for a person to be responsive to that plea. In English, we used to say, for God's sake. So that's when we're really pleading. Please do this. I need help. For God's sake, won't you help me? This is what Allah is referring to. تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ. You ask each other through Him and invoking Him and with Him. Azza wa Jal. So this takes God consciousness. Wal arham. And now that it goes back to the family. So fear Allah, taqullah. Alladhi tasa'aluna bihi wal arham. Wal arham ma. So this is also in the grammatical accusative case, mansub. معطوف على الله على لفظ الجلالة اتقوا الله واتقوا الأرحام. fear Allah, be conscious of Allah, and be conscious of the relations and ties of the womb between you. So Allah is re-emphasizing taqwa, taqullah, and Allah is re-emphasizing the family. Wal arham. These are the ties that keep us together. And for it to be real though, that consciousness has to be there. So Allah Ta'ala concludes the verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Verily Allah is watching over you. Be mindful of that fact. Be mindful of that fact. So consciousness of Allah culminates in a spiritual life. Consciousness of the material world culminates in a material life. And it culminates, as we said, in selfishness. Understand, the first materialist was Iblis, Shaitan. We've mentioned this before, but to emphasize, when Shaitan rebelled, how did he justify his rebellion? Allah Ta'ala mentioned, وَمَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. What prevented you from prostrating yourself when I ordered you to do so? قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ. He said, I am better than him. On what basis? خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتُهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. On a physical basis, you created me from fire and you created him from clay. My physical composition is better than his physical composition. So he's not only the first racist, the physical difference I possess, and there's color involved, because fire has the colors, usually orange, red, and the clay Adam was created from has a color. It was black. It was black clay. All the tafsir says this. So there was a physical, a racist component, but there's also the material component. He didn't justify his rebellion on any moral ground. So Shaitan didn't say, I'm more generous than him. I'm more compassionate than him. I am more forgiving than him. I am more truthful than him. There's no moral argument. It's all physical. You created me from fire. You created him from clay. That's why I'm better. أنا خير من. I'm better than him. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتُهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. You created me from fire, you created him from clay. So this is the culmination of materialist thinking. So it's no coincidence that as our society moves deeper and deeper into materialism, it moves deeper and deeper into individualism and selfishness. He was selfish. I don't want to acknowledge anything for Adam. This is a distinction I should have. He's only thinking of himself. Ana khayrun min. I am better than him. A spiritual system wants to remove the I and replace it with who? With focus on the divine. And replace it on the other. One of our greatest virtues, we have three interrelated concepts as Muslims in our moral and ethical system. As-sakha, wal-jud, wal-ithar. As-sakha, and they're all sometimes translated as generosity, but they're levels. The first level is as-sakha, where a person shares something but keeps most of it for himself or herself. Sakha. Then there's jud. Jud is where a person shares something, but he gives most of it, but keeps something back for himself or herself. Al-ithar is they give it all, and they don't care about themselves. They don't care about themselves. La ilaha illallah. So, because why? They understand Allah will provide for me. Whatever I shared, it came from Allah, it didn't come from me. And they believe that Allah Ta'ala will recompense them as He has promised. This morning, this very morning, I was reading Imam As-Sulami's Tabaqat As-Sufiyya, Abi Abdurrahman As-Sulami, And he mentioned a saying of Shaqiq al-Bawqi. He said, إِذَا أَرَادَ or إِذَا أَرَادَ أَنْ تَعْرِفَ إِذَا أَرَادَ أَنْ تَعْرِفَ مَعْرِفَتَهُ اللهم صل على محمد. إذا أراد الإنسان أن تعرف معرفته بالله فانظر إلى ما وعده الله ووعده الناس أيهما أوثق به. If you want to know the extent of your true knowledge of Allah, how much you really know Allah, then look at what Allah has promised you and look at what the people have promised you. Which of the two do you have more confidence in? Which of the two do you have more confidence in? What Allah has promised or what the people have promised? The people promise you, if you give them their money, they'll give you nowadays a 2% return. Maybe 1 point something. Allah promises you if you give him your money by sharing it with his creatures, he'll give you a return that's exponentially greater than anything you can imagine. Which promise do we have confidence in? One will make us hold on. One will make us share. Which of the two do we have more confidence in? Allahu A'lam. But if we're spiritual creatures, we have more confidence in that which is with Allah. And this is what we want to talk about in the balance of the khutbah. When Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا, verily Allah is watching over you. This is a state in our religion that's called ihsan. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about ihsan, he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "An ta'budu Allah ka'annaka tarahu, fa in lam takun tarahu fa innahu yarak." That you worship Allah as if you see him. And if you fail to see him, be mindful of the fact that he observes you. Ka'annaka tarahu. We won't see Allah, but we can be so conscious of Allah it's as if we see him. And to make an example from our worldly experiences, all of you, all of us, myself included, we've been in a room and we knew someone else was in the room. We didn't see the person, but their presence was so intense that we had no doubt someone's in the room. That's consciousness, that's awareness, that's attentiveness. So we should be in a state where our consciousness that Allah is present is more real than that instance where we absolutely knew someone's in here. So we're in the library alone studying, a lot of students here. You sense someone's in the room. Then we're either relieved or startled when someone walks from behind the bookshelf. Depending on who they are, how they're dressed, and what they look like. We're relieved or startled. But we say, yeah, I knew someone was in here. I had no doubt. So in that sense, we're not surprised. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more real. And Allah is more attendant. And our consciousness of Allah should be sharper than it was in that instance. And we should work to make that our permanent state. Our awareness of Allah never leaves us. But if we can arrive to that station, as Ibn Juzay Kalbi mentioned in something we read last week in another venue, then we should at least try to attain to the state of consciousness where we're aware at all times that Allah is observing us. And then it's easy to take the advice, to implement the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, استحي من الله حق الحياة. Be shy before Allah as should rightfully be the case. We're shy before our elders. We're shy before people we assume or believe have a refined religious state. We will never say certain things in their presence. We will never do certain things in their presence out of our shyness for them. Well, Allah Ta'ala has more right that we're shy before Him. Because our grandmother or grandfather or the Imam or whoever, they don't determine the fate of our soul. They don't assess our actions. They don't weigh our deeds yawm al-qiyamah. That's something reserved for Allah, that Allah Ta'ala is reserved for Himself. So if we're mindful for them, when none of those consequences in terms of the fate of our soul rest in their hand, how much more mindful and how much more shy should we be before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much more should that awareness check our actions? But that takes work. And just summarize something we read from Ibn Juzay's tafsir last week, not here but elsewhere. Just to remind the brothers and sisters, he says that if a person can't arrive to that first state of conscious, of constant attentiveness before Allah, constant alertness before Allah, constant awareness that of Allah Ta'ala's presence, then try to arrive to the second state, because it will check your action. And then he mentioned a plan to get us there. So if one, the first state is called mushahada, the witnessing. And to get to that state, we have to remove the dross of the world from our hearts. Because our hearts have witnessed that reality of Allah Ta'ala's presence. When Allah Ta'ala brought us into His presence and assembled us, extracted us from the loins of our forefather Adam, and called us to witness. Here's the mushahada. وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. And He called them to witness against their souls, saying, am I not your Lord? قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا. They said, certainly we bear witness. Certainly we bear witness. So why don't we bear witness now? Because as we said, the material dross of this world has clouded over our souls. And that reality that was so clear at that time, why? Because it was before we even knew of the physical world. There was no material reality or substance or essence to cloud over our hearts and to darken our spirits. So we immediately responded, Bala, Shahidna. And تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا قُلْنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. So that we will not say on the day of resurrection, we were heedless of this fact. So if we're going to give that answer, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, we have to remove the dross. And one way to remove it, he gives a program. He says the first thing is مُشَارَطَة. Make a condition on yourself each and every waking day that you will not rebel against the law on that day. That you will do everything in your power to implement everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked of us as we go into this day. Musharata. And that's followed by what he calls murabata. And then enter rabt, to wrap up. Enter into a binding covenant with Allah that you will be faithful in the condition you have entered into. And this is the state of the true believer. Allah Ta'ala mentions in Quran, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُوا اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُوا اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. Amongst the believers there are men, and women are included also, who are truthful in the covenant they've convened with Allah. They are truthful in the covenant they've convened with Allah. So we make the condition. And then follow that by muhasaba. We assess ourselves at the end of the day to see how well and how faithful we've been in fulfilling that condition. And if we've been faithful, we praise Allah. And if we find that we've fallen short, then He has another step, which He calls mu'aqabah, to rebuke ourselves. Either verbally, talk to yourself sometimes, not idly. If you're idly talking to yourself, someone might call 911. But in the privacy of your home or the park or somewhere, talk to yourself. Have a discourse with your soul. Have a discourse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you find you've fallen short, rebuke yourself. Why did you do that? You're better than that. That's one of the best ways to rebuke yourself. Remind yourself you're better than that. Why did you smoke that? Why did you drink that? Why did you say that? You're better than that. You're the son of Adam. You're the daughter of Adam. You're the vicegerent of Allah in this world. You're the witness for other people, other communities, other nations. You're better than that. Rebuke yourself. And then renew the condition. And renew the covenant. And renew your examination in the following day. And proceed in that way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we're serious in this, then we'll find our awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grows. And we'll find that the impact of the materialistic society around us is lessened. And we'll find that we're able to be witnesses for people. And we're able to be guides for people. Allah ta'ala sent us to be guides. He sent us to be witnesses. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. In order that we made you a balanced nation to be witnesses for people. First and foremost in the Akhirah, in this particular verse, but also in this world. لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. This is our role, brothers and sisters. And we're up to the challenge. We're up to the challenge. But to be up to the challenge, we have to tap into our spiritual nature because there's a war going on. Iblis, when he rebelled against Allah, he declared war on humanity. And part of his war, in fact, his whole strategy is to get the people of belief to be so attached to physical reality that they lose touch with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if they pray, even if they fast. Even if they say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. When someone talks about the Akhirah, it's just an abstraction, it's not real. When someone talks about heaven and hell, Jannah wa Nar, it's just an abstraction. It's not real. It might be believed in at the level of mental conceptualization, but it hasn't been internalized at the level of our soul. And that's when it checks us. The people in prior generations, one of the things they would say, I'll put the fear of God in his soul. As though I'm gonna check this boy. I'll put the fear of God in him and in his soul. And that will check him. But our souls have to be receptive to that fear. If someone says it's ittaqullah, when people were more attuned to their spiritual reality, if someone said, fear Allah, they fall apart. What am I doing? A'udhu billah, am I on the path to hell? Ittaqillah, ittaqillah. Now you say, tell someone, fear Allah. They might tell you, fear Allah. Anta ittaqillah. Man ant? Anta Abu Bakr, anta Umar, Uthman, anta Rasulullah. حَتَّى صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَتَّى تَقُولَ لِي اتَّقِ اللَّهِ. Who are you? You Abu Bakr or somebody? Telling me to fear Allah. You fear Allah. I got it going on. I'm in the first row in the masjid every prayer. MashaAllah, you're in the masjid, what's in your heart? Allahumma musta'an. Wallahu alam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ورسال المؤمنين يا قوم استغفر الله أستغفر الله الذي من الذي لا يقنط وليه استغفر الله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما الحمد لله Allah سبحانه وتعالى has truly blessed us. Allah has blessed us with faith. Allah has blessed us with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم whose example has been recorded in history for us to follow. He's not an abstraction. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us to try to orient ourselves towards Him. And we should try to do that truthfully, because truthfulness is another aspect of cultivating attentiveness and alertness to Allah's presence. Again, we read a few weeks ago where the author of a particular text was discussing the difference between ikhlas, which is sometimes translated as sincerity, and sidq, honesty or truthfulness. And he said, al-ikhlas iradatullah. Ikhlas is to desire Allah. So I'm coming to Jummah just for Allah. I'm coming to pray just for Allah. Wasidq iradatullahi ma hudur al-qalbi ma'a. And sidq is to desire Allah and to have present or attentiveness of heart with Him. So we can come to the masjid just to pray to Allah. I'm not coming to show off. I'm not coming to demonstrate excess of piety. I'm coming just for Allah. But once we say Allahu Akbar and we start praying, we're thinking about dinner, we're thinking about our lesson, we're thinking about picking up the kids from daycare. So the attentiveness with Allah isn't present. Sidq is to desire Allah and to have attentiveness with Allah. It's a higher station. And the attentiveness, this is what we're talking about, because the attentiveness, this is the foundation of spiritual life. May Allah bless us to attain to truthfulness and honesty. Ahmed Zarruq, when describing the spiritual path, he said he looked at thousands of definitions and he boiled them down until he attained to one single one. He said, Sidqu tawajjuhi ilallah. Orienting yourself with all due truthfulness towards Allah. Sidqu tawajjuhi ilallah. That's the spiritual path, to truthfully orient yourself towards Allah. And there's one question only each and every one of us as individuals can answer. Am I truthful in my dealings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Only each and every one of us as an individual can answer that question. We pray that Allah gives us that we're blessed to be truthful. Because as we said, that is the foundation of any struggle against this materialism. A person will battle materialism with materialism. Karl Marx and every ideology emanating from Marxism battle the materialism of capitalism with the materialism of Marxism. That's at the foundation. It's all economic determinism. There's no escaping from the material condition. Economic determinism. We have to battle it with spiritual determinism. With spiritual determinism. Believing firmly that everything that transpires in history is not the consequence of a struggle between economic classes. It's a consequence of the decree, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once we've arrived at that consciousness, our Prophet ﷺ has shown us the rest. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وتوفنا مسلمين واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أقم الصلاة يرحمني يرحمكم الله. الله أكبر.